Welcome to Colleen's Ag Connection, what you've wanted to know about agriculture but didn't know who to ask. So, ask Colleen. Today, ask Colleen about Johnny Cash. Well, not really, but ask about the title of his hit song, I Hear the Train A-Comin'. Trains continue to come down the tracks and around the bend, but there aren't as many lines as there used to be. Some say there's a rail monopoly, and that needs to change, especially in rural areas where commodities are transported by trains. Bob Szabo is with CUER. Consumers United for Rail Equity.
Our railroad industry has consolidated down to four big railroads that move our freight around the country. They do not compete with each other, and so we're subject to railroad monopoly power. A lot of areas of the country, like perhaps your area, are dependent on rail service for moving fertilizer in, moving agriculture product out, moving coal to your electric power plant that generates electricity. If they have monopoly power to overprice the transportation of all these substances, then that reduces the income for the people in the area because it comes right out of your pocket.
What does that mean to a 100-car train that leaves the grain elevator, and what does it mean to the new ethanol plants that are scattered throughout Illinois?
Well, the unit train movements of grain, if they are a captive movement, are often paying 2 to 3 times as much as they would pay if they had competition for that movement. Same with the ethanol producers. And in fact, sometimes the ethanol producers can't get the service they need from the railroad. So it's a price issue because every dollar comes out of the farmer's pocket or the consumer's pocket. Or it is a service issue where bad service can be as bad as a bad price.
Are there things that can be done to make adjustments and change?
Well, we're mostly, unfortunately, locked into our national rail system, but we can change some policies that give us some competition in that rail system. Surprisingly, the railroads are not covered by the antitrust laws today. We need to put them back under the antitrust laws, and that will open up the system for more competition. And then some people just don't have competition. They are served by a single railroad. Whole regions are served by a single railroad. That railroad has to be regulated and looked after to be sure it's not overcharging its customers. And so we have a federal agency that does that called the Surface Transportation Board. It's not very vigorous. It doesn't do much of a job. It's accused by shippers of being captive by the railroads. So we're trying to make that into an effective regulatory system that will keep an eye on the railroad.
How did it happen that the rail industry is not regulated?
Well, the rail industry in the early years, in the late 1800s, obviously drove the development of our country. And it abused its power, and it was one of the driving reasons that the government, the Congress, adopted antitrust laws. The early cases were about railroad antitrust abuse. In the 1900s, they were closely regulated by the Interstate Commerce Commission. They had to get prior approval before they could do anything. In 1980, Congress changed that and made them presumptively deregulated where there was competition, but this agency was supposed to keep an eye on them. Well, at that point, Congress didn't put them back under the antitrust laws. They had gotten, when they were tightly regulated, they got out from under the antitrust laws. But in 1980, when they were no longer tightly regulated, Congress didn't put them back under the antitrust laws. And we're trying to correct that oversight 30 years later.
What has to happen?
Well, the railroads need to be under the antitrust laws, and that will prevent them from doing some things they're doing today to prevent shippers from getting access to competing railroads. That'll open up the system to more competition. Some people are not going to have competition, and those people need to be protected by a vigorous agency that's overseeing the railroads and saying you're charging too much. You have to knock down your charge. So we have two different bills that we're trying to pass. One bill is an antitrust bill that puts them under the antitrust laws. And that bill is probably going to be voted on in the Senate in early June. And it will be brought through the House by Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin and Chairman John Conyers of Michigan. We have a bill to make the STB into an agency it should be. And that bill is being put together by Senator Rockefeller of West Virginia, who's chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee, and Chairman Jim Oberstar of Minnesota, who's chairman of the House Transportation Committee.
There is also conversation about our country becoming more energy independent, becoming less dependent on the use of our vehicles. And some say, in some circles, who experience trains in another decade, in another time, say they do it really well in Europe. Is there something that we can do to make sure that we do this better here? Do you have an answer to that?
I have an opinion that railroads can move people well and effectively. And obviously our president is interested in high-speed rail for passengers. I just left a briefing with some staff that are working on legislation, this Rockefeller legislation, and it had some provisions in it to try to make passenger rail more available and try to make sure that the railroads are maintaining the system that would allow us to have passenger rail. So I think people are getting it, that that's a better way to move people.
We're also, in a way, sort of talking about what's old is new again, or the more things change, the more maybe they should have stayed the same. And we drove the Golden Spike. Maybe there'll be some ceremonious indication that we are going back a bit to move forward.
Well, I think the railroads are essential to our country. We can't have a thriving economy without a good freight rail system. But the freight rail system is not the end to itself. The freight rail system is there to move the products of the nation. And so they need to remember that they're there to serve. They're not there to monopolize. They're there to serve.
Historically, rural communities sprung up near a rail line because that's where the business was. That's how commerce flowed. And so as some of these rural communities have lost business, have lost main streets, do you see the improvement or changes in the rail industry somehow positively impacting some of these rural communities?
Well, we certainly hope that what we're doing will lead to that. Congressman Tim Walz of Minnesota got a study provision put in the Ag Bill to do a study on what the current rail system was costing rural America. And that study is underway by the Department of Agriculture. And we're hoping that what will come out of that is a focus on the problem today that will lead to innovation in the future.
So when it comes to trains, there are a lot of song titles. Love Train, Peace Train, Night Train, Soul Train, Freight Train, and of course, Chattanooga Choo Choo. But the one that fits the title of Bob Szabo's tune is Boxcar Blues. That is, if the legislation that Consumers United for Rail Equity, known as CURE, jumps the track. And that's this week's Colleen's Ag Connection.